Accessibility Craft Podcast, where we explore the art of creating accessible websites while trying out interesting craft beverages. This podcast is brought to you by the team at Equalize Digital, a WordPress accessibility company and the proud creators of the Accessibility Checker plugin. And now, on to the show.
Today, I am very excited to introduce Ken Baudin, who I know I said it wrong. Maybe I did okay.
You did okay. It's all right.
All right. So Cam and I have been connected on LinkedIn, and I have really appreciated a lot of the content that he shares around accessibility. You may have seen me even like retweet out one of his videos yet. But if you haven't, he did a video that just cracked me up, but was a really great point and showed trying to mix an egg into an already baked cake as a symbol for trying to add accessibility at the end of a project, and how well does that go over? And it has a cameo from a cute kid in there. So I'm really excited to have Cam here speaking with us about forms and form accessibility, because it is really important. And I'm gonna stop sharing and let him take over. And I think that he'll give us some thoughts, but pretty much I think he's gonna try and monitor the chat and answer questions. So you're welcome to post them there.
All right. Thanks, Amber. You know, if we were live, remember how what people used to do is they used to turn around and take a picture with their phone and stuff like that with the whole crowd of people behind. It doesn't work just as well with a virtual audience. But what I want to say is that I try and make these talks as interactive as possible. So please, if you have any questions, kind of as I'm going here, it's just a white screen right now. Okay. There's nothing wrong with the tech. Hopefully that's what you see right now. Everyone sees a Amber, can you confirm a white screen? Okay, good. If you have any questions as I'm going around here, no problem. Quick description of myself for accessibility reasons. So I'm a 30-something white male. Today I've got on a white t-shirt and a black sweater because it is snowing outside. So I did have to go outside there. It is cold. And I got a snazzy black accessibility cap with the hashtag A11Y on it. So without any further ado, let's get started here. I'm going to take us back, okay, to start off here a little bit with back in 1945, the U.S. Air Force had a really big problem on their hands. They didn't know how to solve it. The problem was there was too many plane crashes. All right, and the reason they found out was because they took data from a book that was written over 100 years earlier from a Belgian scientist who was the first person to ever take statistics and averages of the human body, right? Arm length, chest size, head size, things like that. Before that, it was only ever mapped out like in the celestial bodies, planet movement, stuff like that. But the average human was only kind of measured back in 1835. It's kind of how we build tech now, isn't it, right? We take the average person, we say, well, the average person knows how to use forms fine. The average person knows how to use carousels. So it's probably okay, right? So a researcher said, okay, well, let's retest all these servicemen that we have at the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, because obviously the great American physique had grown since the European days. And then they retested everyone and said, okay, we've got all these statistics. Let's see how many servicemen at the base are fully average across all 10 metrics. So here's the first piece of interaction. Like everyone to open up their chat. I want you to put in the chat, what percentage of men do you think, there's 3,000 of them, what percentage of servicemen were actually on average for all 10 metrics? I'll wait a second here while everyone opens up the chat. Put in the chat, how many men were average across all metrics? I see some 2% and some 5%, 83%, and 5, yeah, 0. Okay, I see some zeros coming in. I see Ron, Jeanette, and Jean. You're all correct. 0%. Not a single man was average across all 10 metrics. And that's really interesting because all of a sudden they've realized that they built airplanes for nobody. Again, kind of like how we build carousels, right? So a flurry happened of new research, and on screen, I've got an image of a cockpit, well, the foot of a cockpit at the bottom, where you see some foot pedals and a shifter and a little window at the bottom, I guess, to see what's underneath. And they redesigned cockpits to focus on adaptability. right? Foot pedals and helmets and suits and seats could move forward and backwards. And you know what? All of a sudden, pilot performance soared. In fact, this is how the study of ergonomics was born in the United States, when the focus became on adaptability versus what the average person knows. So why do I start with this, right? What do airplanes and cockpits have to do with forms? Well, at some point, you're going to have to talk to clients, right? And accessibility can have a very regulatory tone to it, right? If I start my talks talking about statistics and lawsuits and all that kind of stuff, it in my experience, a lot of people start to push away from that. I start with stories. I call people, now you're all airplane cockpit experts in case, you ever find yourself in a situation where you may need to talk on that again. But right now in our industry, in the world of accessibility and development, we need developers and UX people and testers and accessibility professionals more than ever before. And we need them now. We need advocates and specialists and consultants, and like I said, developers and testers and designers. And a lot of what I do is I talk to advocates and I talk to specialists and I try and get them on board with speaking about accessibility and learning how to approach accessibility in a new and different way. Maybe you found yourself in this scenario before. On screen, I've got an image of what looks like a very intimidating boardroom full of men at a wooden table. It's, quite a long table. I don't know where you are. Well, I kind of know where you are now. I mean, we had a nice introduction, but I don't know your role specifically within your organization. Maybe you're a freelancer. Maybe you're just a student getting started with web development and WordPress accessibility. But one day you're going to find yourself looking down a table full of stern-looking people, and they could be your bosses or your clients, and they're going to think accessibility is useless. They're going to think accessibility is time-consuming, that it costs a whole bunch of money, and you're going to have to make a decision on how you're going to approach that situation. And I like to say, if it ain't fun, don't do it. And this is probably the most important slide of this section of the presentation. Because if there's one thing to remember, it's that you're going to meet resistance at some point in the career about accessibility. Anyone who's been in accessibility before will tell you stories again and again of how often, some objection came up, no time, there's no money, no budget for this project about accessibility. Let's not rework the whole thing. If you don't make it fun, if you don't make it approachable, people just aren't going to get on board. They're not going to do it. We're creatures of pleasure and stories. So I don't really talk about the WCAG, the Web Content Accessibility Guidelines specifically, except for one slide in this whole talk. If you don't even know what the accessibility guidelines are, don't worry about it, okay? I really do try and approach situations, companies, clients, and things like that in the way of, good, better, best at the very bottom. So on screen, I've got a pyramid where the very bottom has needs work. And that's kind of the foundation. Everyone's there. There's lots of websites out there that are in that. We need a whole bunch of work. We're not even at the good level yet. We don't even meet the minimum standards. We're not even at that checkbox yet. But then you get this whole upper class of websites or technology that is made in kind of that good, better, best categories. And where you fall and where you consult and where you coach and where you build kind of will fall on one of these three tiers. And we're expected kind of in business and in life to, we got to be the best all the time. We hired you, you should be the best. Why aren't you doing this? You're not doing your best. I've told you about accessibility multiple times. Why aren't you doing your best to solve this problem? Or, hey, child, you why didn't you get 100% on your math test, right? You should be the best. Accessibility is a journey. It's a progressive improvement and continuous learning. As my friend Merrill likes to say, it's progress, not perfection. I know I need to work on my accessibility UX knowledge, how users truly experience. I'm doing a bunch of research on that right now. That's my journey because that's where I know I need to focus. But moving up this pyramid takes time. I think a lot of people go and do the shaming and blaming route, and we've been doing that too long. So I'd say stop doing that. Accept that accessibility is going to be a journey. It's going to be a lot of learning. You may need to unlearn some things. And I'm glad to see that some new people to accessibility, when we were talking or reading those chats, that some people have never even learned about accessibility before. That's great. It's so great to see there's an engagement about accessibility here. So don't fight. It'll happen over time. It's a journey. And I like to say patience plus persistence equals progress. Again, not perfection. So we're here and to change a company culture. Think of yourself more like a coach, and you may just be a developer. You may just be learning about accessibility now for the very first time. This may be your very first meetup on accessibility. Even more so, first off, welcome to a WordPress meetup on that too. But this is more of an exercise, like just like diet or exercise or saving money. It's our only tool is time. So again, patience and persistence equals progress. So today, again, I'm not sure what your skill level is. It sounds like we have a nice range of skills levels here, which is great. Feel free to ask questions in the chat as we go along here. But hopefully you're ready for a couple stories and a bit of comedy on Monday night. Okay, so let's start planning our forms. I want to bring this from kind of the very beginning of how to start a form. And you may say, well, let's just, you know, we just put it together, put a bunch of inputs together and bang, we got a form. It's good to go. But there's so much more you have to think about when you're building or planning for something. So, all right, I'm going to need help with this one again. All right, is this a video? Does it play? Ah, it does play. So on screen, I've got a video. This is up here in Ontario, Canada. We've got a park called Algonquin Park, and this is at 5:30 in the morning. I woke up to the sunrise. This is last summer, and it's just a beautiful lake up there at Algonquin Park. In the chat right now, I want to pretend that we're all going to go camping, okay? In the chat, I want you to put, if we're going camping, what equipment do we need to go camping? All right, tent, food, pop that in the chat right now. Answer multiple times. I want to see some activity going on here. What do we need to go camping if we're all going to go, you know, all 32 of us are going to go camping all together. What do we need? Fire starters, camp chairs, a stove with propane, flashlight, chairs, backpack, a bathroom. That's a good one, Cindy. I love that. We're going to bring an entire bathroom. Bear spray. Yes, Christina. beer. Thanks. Thanks for that, Alan. Oh, no, thanks for that, Bob. Food, cooking pots, survivor toolkit. Yes. I love it. Okay. I'll move to the next slide if it's a video. Okay. So even though we've got all this gear, okay, Peter's even got more beer. This is great. We're going to have a good time. Even though we've got all this gear and I've got the knowledge, sounds like some other people here have knowledge. Anyone who said, I don't remember who said bear spray. Depends on where we're going. You got the knowledge. But do we ever leave without a plan? No, of course we don't leave without a plan. We got to know where we're going. We got to know how to plan it. So I want everyone to get in the habit of before you build anything. And I think it comes with the fact that in WordPress, it's just so easy. And I guess in development, just in general, it's so easy just to create and then delete, right? Like, let's just build it and then delete it. It takes no time to do it. We jump right to solutioning first and say, hey, I'll put this together, slap it together. And then, oh, if you don't like it, I'll take it out later. But in my experience, what normally happens is we just don't take it out. Right? That MVP product becomes a permanent solution. It becomes the core product. And even though it has a bunch of code that needs to be refactored and reworked, your boss or your client says like, that's good enough. We can just leave it for a later release and we'll fix it up later. And that never ends up happening. Even for this presentation itself, I draw some mind maps and on screen, I've got my notebook here. Where have I got it here? I actually put it underneath. It's fine. Don't need to give an example. I mind map all of these talks because I have a friend who says plan, and then execute. And I know you can't every single time, but even on the simplest of forms. So on screen, I've got a simple form, simple contact us form that has name, how did you find us, a comment, a field, email, phone, and date of birth. So keep that chat open because I want you to tell me what's wrong with this form. First instinct, first impact. It can be design. It can be accessibility. I don't care. I want to know accessibility or not. What's the problem with this form at the moment?
This episode of Accessibility Craft is sponsored by Equalized Digital Accessibility Checker, the WordPress plugin that helps you find accessibility problems before you hit publish. Thousands of businesses, nonprofits, universities, and government agencies around the world trust Accessibility Checker to help their teams find, fix, and prevent accessibility problems on an ongoing basis. New to accessibility? Equalized Digital Accessibility Checker is here to teach you every step of the way. Whether you're a content creator or a developer, our detailed documentation guides you through fixing accessibility issues. Never lose track of accessibility again with real-time scans each time you save, powerful reports inside the WordPress dashboard, and a front-end view to help you track down hard-to-find issues. Scan unlimited posts and pages with Accessibility Checker free. Upgrade to Accessibility Checker Pro to scan your website in bulk, whether it has 10 pages or 10,000. Download Accessibility Checker today at equalizedigital.com/accessibility-checker. Use coupon code ACCESSIBILITYCRAFT to save 10% on any plan.
Font is too light. Yep. No required fields. There's no context. Placeholders. Yep. No placeholders in there at all. We had to see the back end. Cindy, I'm going to challenge on that. I'm going to wonder what the back end. Okay. Hints will disappear while typing. Not sure how to submit first name, last name, both. Yeah. What I kind of get out of this, when I built this sample here, the biggest problem that I tried to create was that it's too complex. It's overcomplicated for nothing. We should be striving for simplification in everything you do. The benefits seniors, it benefits people who speak English as a second language, benefits kids if ever they're filling out forms, benefits people with cognitive disabilities, benefits people who are partially blind, who don't use a screen reader. Cut, cut, cut. Let's try and reduce as many fields, copy, content, all that. Reduce as much as possible. Because I know a lot of us in the world of development and stuff like that, we wear multiple hats. If anyone here wears multiple hats, maybe someone here is a dev designer or a dev tester or a design tester. You know, you're doing everything at the company. You're the tech person and you're the one building all these kinds of things. Maybe you're a system architect / copywriter. That'd be a multiple field. Karen, yeah, a letter abbreviation. I see DDYY. Assume those are numbers, but there's only 12 months. Yeah. Yeah. I think it could be, I don't know how I built this one. It could be MARJAN for January and March and stuff like that. So let's think about forms. Okay. What information do I truly need in the form, right? What does the form do? How am I going to use this information? Who is the target audience? How will I handle the information? I think that goes back to Cindy's question there earlier about what's the back end look like? What am I doing with this information? Do I really need that information? How do I secure that information? And do I really need a signature, or phone number, or date of birth, or gender? You know, do I really need all this information? If you're not following Meryl Evans on LinkedIn, you should be, because she's great. I use her stuff a lot. Her and I, we bounce stuff back and forth all the time. Meryl put this post out, I think it was in March or in February. And she said, we need to change the process for forms to make them more inclusive. There's a field on online forms that frustrates a lot of deaf and hard of hearing folks. And care to guess which one? Well, it's the phone number field. Often it's a required field. And she said, I just read another deaf person's story about applying for jobs and needed to fill that field. He says he doesn't have a phone number. He's already frustrated with the job hunting process, and this exacerbates it. And I'll admit, I never thought of this before either. I've been doing development for 10 years. I never thought of, you know, putting a phone number required field is just an obvious answer to me, right? But maybe asking a user their preferred method of contact is the best way to handle your form to make it the most accessible. And by the way, Gen Z, they don't ever want to be contacted by phone for any reason, right? So just like, maybe we don't even need to get the phone number anymore for any reason. And by the way, like I said, if you're not following Meryl, you definitely should be. So let's look at this simplified form that I've built here. Hopefully this brought out anything. If there's anything you see that's missing here, that's great. I put full name and said, we don't need first name, last name, just full name now. I put enter your full name is placeholder. How did you find us? We got a drop down menu here. Remove date of birth. If someone's just contacting me on a website, I don't need their date of birth. That's unnecessary information. I got a comment field multi-line. I shrunk it a little bit just so it saves space here. And I got an email address, which I put as fish@example.com for the example. That's it. Because I've read a lot of audits in my past life. I used to do audits. I used to review audits as part of a job in the past. And 38% of audit issues have to do with forms. That's why I start with forms. It's great to teach. It's great to learn. It's great to start off. Yes, I know color contrast is great. And learning, like organizational learning is an absolute. But if I just have to talk or sit next to someone in the field, I start with forms because missing labels, focus highlighting, error messages, form validation, that'll all become very apparent of how accessible your site is by just looking at the forms. Here's another example. Maybe someone knows Zoho. Zoho is this try and like be all end all kind of tool that does, you know, they've got plugins and APIs for everything. On screen, I've got their sign up form. And this is, you know, everything that what not to do for forms. They have no labels. They've got a 1 pixel focus outline, which you can just barely see around. I mean, I've blown this up for everyone. You can't even see it around that sign up for free button at the bottom. It's got, just to describe the page a little bit more, company name, email, password, and phone number, and they're all inputs and none of them have any information. This sucks. Okay. This is just a bad form. If you've got some elements here, I'm going to break down each of these elements and later on in the conversation, just bear with me. But as a junior accessibility professional, when I started out, I was saying, well, screen readers read placeholders now. Like, what's the big deal? Well, I'll show you the big deal. Okay, what happens if you have a form with no labels on them? As soon as you enter some data in there, you now no longer know what elements are supposed to have which information. And this can be really obviously, like, you know, usernames and email address. Well, which one's supposed to be which here? Because there's no form validation here either. I try to hit sign up, and it's only after that it kicks me out. So when I go through my list of all forms, I'm going to republish this at the end for screenshots and things like that, or you can take a screenshot at the end. In all forms, I'm always checking for labels on each control. I try to provide additional information or instructions whenever possible, such as placeholders. I make sure visual cues are there, such as focus indicators, to make sure that there's a border around every single focusable interactive element. Make sure that there's a logical order to the form, right? So it's not going first name, address, last name, country. It does first name, last name, address, country. And hopefully that's in the right order as well. And of course, indicating the mandatory fields. And I'll talk about that again a little bit later. On most forms, not all of them, if there's controls that need to be grouped, such as checkboxes or radio buttons, I'm ensuring those are all grouped together, especially with assistive technology, such as screen readers. I'm making sure form validation, the inputs are there as well, and making sure that useful placeholders are there to give more details to the elements. And finally, on some forms, ones are a little bit more specific to whatever usage, I make sure that I notify users when there's issues on the form itself. I offer stages if the form is very, very long as well. And I want to make sure that the data, that I can enter whatever data I want into that form field, and the website itself will handle that gracefully. So for example, here in Canada, we have a space in our postal code. So A1A, 1A1. There's a space between the first three characters and the last three characters. The user shouldn't have to format that text with the space. That should be handled gracefully by the system. Sometimes that's a limitation of whatever tool you're using to build the form or the backend service like that, but that should be something that ideally is gracefully handled by the system itself. And also I like to now put form indication of how long it takes to complete forms too, especially on these really, really long forms. Expected time, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. This will help users gauge at how much time it's going to take to fill out this form. That's something that's really important, especially for users who have cognitive issues or maybe struggle with a screen magnifier who need to scroll around the screen. These are all things to think about as you're building forms. All right, I'm not a designer, but I'm going to talk about design. I read a book recently called Don't Make Me Think by Dan Krug. It's a great book, tons of tips on UX and UI, but really what it all comes down to is that he says nobody wants to pay for average, right? Like an average looking website. But to those of us who are wearing multiple hats or who have a designer on our team, we have to be cautious because sometimes we want to have like cool transitions and let's save a bunch of space on our websites, or, you know, let's just jump to a redesign or add some white space or make really slick forms and transitions and stuff like that. But is this, how does this really truly impact a user in the end? What does the business do? It helps inform or sell a product or service. And really, most of that can be accomplished through simplicity and usability first thinking. in addition to all the other aspects of design. But so if anyone ever comes to you in your career or maybe your development, you're building something, they say, well, you know, accessible design is really too restrictive. There's lots of examples out there. On screen, I've got an example of the Parramatta Park in Australia. And this is a fully compliant website. They've been audited. And in fact, they're used in the W3C, the World Wide Web Consortium, as an example of a website that works really well for accessibility. And look, there's a carousel right on the front page. I'm not anti-carousel, by the way. I don't, you know, like them because a lot they're done so poorly so often, but hey, sometimes you got to work with them. That's just life. But there's lots you can do to make websites fully accessible. So what's out there right now? Let's continue our outdoors theme here. We're still on our camping trip right now. Okay. We're walking through it. Maybe, you know, I'm still in Canada under the freezing snow. Who, you know, I'm going to say, I'm just going to pick on someone here. Let's say Thomas. Okay, Thomas, I know you're a good sport, so that's why I'm picking on you. Why did we assign Thomas to pick the snacks? Because look, we ran out of snacks in our little trip here in our hike, and one of us sees this wonderful mushroom, and you think back to that delicious portobello burger that you had at that vegetarian restaurant with barbecue sauce all over it. You just reach down and grab that mushroom, and you stick it in your mouth and eat it just like Super Mario. Well, no, of course you don't do that, right? Just like you wouldn't go and download every single WordPress form building plugin like I did, just to give examples here. Because what I want to do here now is thanks for the mushroom emoji, Thomas. What we're going to do here is I'm going to take a poll in a second, and I want to see what form builder that you're using in your projects, and we're going to see which one's the most accessible form builder. Okay, and let's all learn about this together. Never done this before. Let's try and see which one is going to work the best for your projects in the future. So as a checklist, we need to make sure that you can create labels with the form builder, proper labels, add additional instructions, either as like an aria described by or something underneath the input. We're going to require validation for elements that are not entered correctly. Like for example, an email address in a phone number field should have some kind of validation on it. We need to make sure that the required field is communicated back to users who use assistive technology. And we're going to make sure that placeholders can be used as well. So hold on, everyone. Hold on. I got this fancy tool here we're going to use for the poll. I don't actually, Amber, can I, do we have the polling feature on Zoom here? I don't know. I've never used it before. Maybe it's too late for that.
So I do have it on, but I don't know if you can create polls if you don't see it down below.
You know what? I'm just going to pop in.
And I will say, like, I think it's sometimes challenging for screen reader users.
Got it. Okay. So what we're going to do, we're going to go on a quest. We're going to find the most accessible WordPress form builder. I see Chris, Adrian, Cindy, and Yemat already put in some information. I want you to put that back into.
I might be able to create one if you have options.
Oh, you know what? It's okay. I'm going to close my screen share for a moment here. I'm going to put in my Slido tool here. This is just a polling tool. Please, everyone, open your chat, go to the link in the chat, and I'm going to reshare my screen here with the results as they come up. And we're all going to vote on which tool form builder that you're using. And we're going to see which one's most accessible. So present in a full screen.
Reshare. Thank you for God, Gravity Forms.
Gravity's down there. For sure, gravity is there.
Is it?
What? Gravity's not there. You're absolutely right. Hold on. Let me go and put that. Let me just do a ninja edit and add Gravity Forms to this. I wonder if I can do that kind of as we're going on here. Edit. And add option, Gravity Forms. Save that. All right. For anyone who uses Gravity, just refresh your screen and you can now vote on Gravity, okay? You can actually vote more than once if you've ever used other ones before. What? This is the first time I've ever seen someone say, I don't even use a form builder. Okay, I got a solution for you too. And maybe you can see me, but we got Gravity. Lots of people use Gravity. Cool. Oh. I'm still sharing my screen, right? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Okay, great. Gravity. Okay, cool. Give it a couple more seconds.
Gravity Forms might win the accessibility features.
Yeah, let's see. Cindy's still trying to connect. Cindy, if you just, you put in gravity. Okay, I see more gravity here. We're definitely going to test out gravity. Definitely going to test out contact form. And I've got a solution, well, that I use as well. So, I mean, there's not much I can show for people who don't use a form builder, but we can definitely talk about something I like to use. And we're going to talk about the different elements about doing that too. It's all going to be good. Great. Okay. All right. So like I said, I'm a sucker for pain. And so I went and did, I actually downloaded, like I said, like every single form builder is here because I had to test them all out. I had to see which one is actually, you know, accessible. Oh, Peter, you said you're starting to use WS Forms. Okay, cool. So let's check out gravity. Wouldn't it be bad if I didn't even have gravity forms on here? I think that might be it.
Well, gravity forms isn't on their WordPress repo because it's not free. Do you have it?
I don't even have it. It's okay. I can add it. Let's add it and let's just do this. So search plugins.
No, it's not there.
It's not there.
It's premium only.
Oh, okay. Well, that's why then.
That
okay.
might be why you didn't have it.
That's probably why I was blocked by that. Okay. Well, let's just jump to contact form 7 then. Cause I think that one works. Contact forms. Oh, well, this is no. Okay. Well, I'm gonna have to take it off my, thing.
This is why you should not have multiple form plugins on a website.
I know, right? Don't even do it. Okay, so contact form 7. All right, so I've got, let's go back here, contact form 7. Here we go. Okay, contact form 7. So what have I got here? I've got just a basic contact me form. First name, last name, your email, how did you find us, company, and message, right? Seems pretty simple. So what have I got? I've got a nice focus outline. This is just the standard one. That's, of course, editable on the CSS on the page itself. I've got a drop down here, which I always like to test because sometimes forms will try to use their own custom widgets and stuff like that. And those are often not accessible at all. So here we go again. I can actually tab through this just fine. It doesn't try and circumvent any styles or things like that. Let's take a peek at the code. Input area invalid. Okay, so let's try and enter a blank field. Look, I've got some information in the bottom. That's great. Are they properly associated using ARIA described by? They are. Does that point to the right field? Sure does. Oh, wait a second. Not sure if it does. Okay, so. Field is required. It's got a hidden field, looks like here. That's just adding it. That's totally cool. And it adds on ARIA Live Play. Look at this. So this is a great example of a form that is accessible as well. Let's see what else you're using. WP Forms. Let me just check that one out too. WP Forms. All right, let's take a look at this one. So we've got a focus outline around this. I've got a star, which indicates it's required. So I wonder on contact form, see, I don't have any visual indication of there being a required field other than this word required. Let's see if that's editable as well. I want to take a look at that. So I got a star here, company, I've got a focus outline. Oh, what happened to the focus outline around this drop-down menu? I'll have to take a look at that later. And the submit button, you lose the focus outline around that one as well. Okay, Peter, you mentioned something that's really, really interesting. So you've got use an asterisk instead of required because required looks like shouting. Most people understand the asterisk. So there is a hot debate in the accessibility community around asterisks because unless you have your verbosity turned all the way up, you don't actually get the word asterisk read out to you if you're using a screen reader. So if it's not read out properly, that's going to be a problem. I understand where you're coming from though, because yeah, having required on every single element does take up a lot of space as well. Personally, what I like to say is every field is required unless otherwise noted. I put that as a a paragraph or something just above the form itself. And that will indicate to everyone who's using it, you know, for all users that everything is required unless otherwise noted. But that is a hot debate. There is no consensus among accessibility professionals which one is best, because I agree as well. Asterisk on required fields has been around since, like, I think the inception of the internet too. So hot debate. And I love hearing that one. That's really great. All right, let's take a look at WP forms, because I only have the first name here. It says first and last is kind of the descriptor. Let's take a quick look at this and get back to the presentation so you're not watching me look at, you know, the console, which is never fun. So we've got first name. So it says it's required. So I've got the required HTML5 element here and nothing really else. So what's the label? There's no label on this WP form. Looks like it's above there, but this is only the global label. So that probably would not be read out. This first and last probably won't be read out to assistive technology users, which includes screen reader users. So that's going to cause an issue later on down the line. Maybe we can look at that and fix it as well. Sorry, Monica. Yes, I can enlarge everything for you. Monica, give me a thumbs up if that works. Okay. So the label looks like it's only above. It doesn't look like the one that's below is actually attached to the input itself. So someone would just hear name and they wouldn't know to put first or last. Perfect. Great. Let's get back to the presentation here, because I know nobody likes just looking at this stuff. We're going to look into the form builder in a moment. All right, perfect. Now, for those of you who don't like using form builders, I'm in the same camp. I actually like using this mailthis.to. If I need to just build a contact form, if you've never heard of this before, I'm going to just pop it in the chat, www.mailthis.to. I like using this a lot because I can just add, I can create my own fully accessible form. And then I can just add as an action this one string, which points to my email address. This is not my actual email address, of course. On screen, I've got a little bit of code, a little bit of HTML. So for those of you who are maybe not familiar with code or can't read it very easily, just go through this very quickly. I've got a form element that wraps everything. Afterwards, I've got a label for, which points to the input of name, full name. After which I've got a label for the that says email address, which points to the input, which is email. And I've got a placeholder in there as well. And finally, a submit button that just sends the data. What this one tiny string does is it just sends all the data in a plain text to my email address. So if I've got to think of a free solution to build a contact me form, or really any form that doesn't require heavy data lifting on the back, this is going to be plenty. This is going to be plenty. It doesn't cost anything. It's not going to fill up my WordPress full of ads or subscribe to, premium versions or anything like that. I do seem to remember now why I didn't choose Gravity. So that's all good. Mailthis.to. I put it once again in the chat if you'd like more information on that. So how do we actually build a good form according to make it accessible? I touched on some of these here, but let's start from the very beginning. Not going to get too deep into this. But for those who are maybe new to accessibility, just learning about accessibility, we got to think about contrast ratios. So any kind of normal text you have on a site needs to be 4.5 to 1, unless it's large text, which includes bold and anything, I think, greater than 18 points is only 3 to 1. And finally, any UI components. So if you've got a button and that's on top of a background, that also has to match the 3 to 1 ratio as well. Just an example for those who may not be aware, I've got good, the word good on a yellow background. This is very high contrast, 19.1 to 6. And I've got bad contrast, which is black on, well, I'm colorblind. I don't know the color behind there, but it's only a 2 to 1. So here we've got something, a free tool called Color Contrast Analyzer. I'll put that in the chat as well for those who aren't aware. Color Contrast Analyzer. It's British, so don't forget that there's a U in the word color, and analyzer has an S instead of a Z. But this is a free tool that is kind of ubiquitous and the de facto tool that everyone uses to identify colors on their site. If you just need to do a color picker, a quick test. So in that last example, the bad color contrast failed, and you can see it right there at 2 to 1 color contrast ratio. What's nice is this also includes just some other results so you can identify yourself if it's a UI component, such as a button, if it can pass in that scenario, or large text as well. Just something to keep in mind, another tool for your arsenal. But personally, what I seem to be using a lot more these days is something called the Accessible Color Palette Builder. I'm just going to close my screen share for a moment here so I can grab the link and pop that into the chat. The reason I love this tool is because I can now send my clients a screenshot of how their color palette works and which colors they can use with other colors. This is a great tool. I really recommend it. I put the link in the chat. I can give this to my clients and say, look, here are the pre-approved colors that you're allowed to use for fully accessible color palette. Yeah, Karen. Yeah, absolutely right. This grid, it's just so nice and visual. I can hand it off and say it ends all debates because it really helps clients just really visualize what they're allowed to use. I've seen a lot of people add this into design systems and design toolkits so that, it's a permanent artifact in there. I love, love, love this tool. All right. So with that form builder, let's go take a look. So I think we landed on contact form 7, as well as just looking at the WP forms. Sorry, I can't use Gravity right now, but let's look at our tool, our form builder, and see how we can build an accessible form with it. So I'm just going to close out of this for a moment, and I will edit this. So WP forms. Let's edit the contact page. Okay. So we mentioned that there's labeling issues on the first and last name. So let's see if we can fix that in the WP builder. So we got first and last name. So our label is just name. And the format is first last. Let's maybe simplify this and see if we can change this to first name and then last name. But again, unless the backend service actually needs the separation between first name and last name, I prefer, and this is just my own preference, I prefer just to put full name. I feel it allows people to enter the name as they desire. But there are sometimes backend requirements if you're adding a form or something like that that needs more information. I'll leave that up to you and whoever's architect in the back. But just for a simple contact me form, just go with full name. In my experience, that really does reduce the amount of friction, because if someone just wants to put, Cam, then they can just put Cam. You let them kind of decide how they want to add that. Okay, and let's look at email address. So email was, any problems with email? Was this an email actual? So input type emails, that's fine. So if a user didn't put any information, that should flag it, which it does, which is great. Company, so this is just a plain text form. Oh, we're gonna look at the required as well. So it looks like the required here only allows you to add the star. So with WP forms, it only adds the star, and yet there's no indicator. So let's take a look. I'm going to open up NVDA.
Speech mode off.
So if you don't know what NVDA is, NVDA is a NVDA is a screen reader. It reads out what's on screen, and they've got this really nifty speech viewer to it. I'm not going to get too much into detail about how to use NVDA, but I've turned off the speech mode just so we can focus on NVDA speech viewer. Unfortunately, I can't make the text on the speech viewer any larger. That customization is not available. If it is, someone please tell me in the chat. Maybe someone knows. I haven't figured out how to do that yet. I don't think it's possible, but let me run through this with some assistive technology to see what it would sound like. So pretty much everything that's happening here, I can use, Thomas, you said I can use the scroll wheel to increase it. Scroll wheel. Whoa, okay, holding down control plus scroll wheel. Thomas, you just blew my mind. Second time I did that. Okay, so thanks for that. So I've got first name blank. This field is required. I've got edit required. And it is picking up last. It says just last. This field is required. Edit required. Invalid entry blank. So it says the word last. I'm still not liking that too much. I would like to be able to fully put a full proper label on there so it reads it out properly. Let's see what else I can do here. And I do have to go through there. So not bad, and not bad. So email star, it probably would read the star out as well if I had my audio on. Let's just turn off NVD for a moment. And go back here. So let's save this form and like this. Where did you hear about us? Please tell me. Tell us if you have any other questions. We'll be in touch shortly. So if, I think for this, this is probably, I'd like to add a required field to the description. But other than that, after just making this one edit, this is not too bad. This is not too bad. With a screen reader, it worked fine. I can tab through it. I don't like the focus state around this input, but maybe that's something that I can change using styling on the global site. But I've seen a lot of these form builders kind of add their own kind of wacky styling here. And then also the submit button here as well does not have a proper focus state. So I'd rate this, what, a B, C plus. Let's say this is a C plus. I think it can do better, but it's good enough. So if you're using WP Forms, you should think about how to add, make sure that you add those required fields in there. And I think you can get pretty advanced in these styles. I'm just going to zoom out just a little bit. Field size. Oh, we've got placeholder text here too, which we didn't talk about. So I don't like putting placeholder text in my inputs. In my drop-down menus, but under full name, I can go to advanced and I can add placeholder text of John Smith. No, let's not do that. Let's add Amber Hunt. Perfect. That's better. Much better. See, as I start doing more of these presentations, more and more WordPress, accessibility WordPress meetup hosts are in there. So I just start, every single one of my forums is going to have a different meetup host. And I got some smart logic, which costs money to add to as well. Okay. So, okay.
It'd be worth mentioning they have that whole little hide label setting there. Which hide you definitely label? Don't hide label. Toggle hide on.
That. Ah, okay. Danger, danger, Will Robinson, danger. Look at that. Yeah. See? Yeah. So when your client comes and asks you, can you please hide the label to that? You got to just pretend this isn't even there.
So I'm guessing you haven't used Gravity Forms, but one of the things that's worth mentioning about Gravity Forms is they went through a whole accessibility audit and like went through and for things, settings in their plugin that they were like for, you know, backwards compatibility, we can't remove this feature. They added flags. So they don't have a feature like that necessarily, but if they had something like that and you toggle it on, it would have a big, like, this is bad for accessibility.
Oh, cool. That's like, really
in
cool.
In the plugin. To that's really, really be cool. Like, you should not do this. Like they have some fields where you add the field and it's literally like, this field is not good for accessibility. You should not use this field.
That is great. Now I'm going to go and probably get Gravity because now it's worth learning about it. Because if that's the best one, I used Forminator in the past. Forminator, by the way, is very accessible for anyone who's maybe looking for a free alternative. It doesn't have those flags, which sounds like a really, really big feature, but it does have a lot of accessibility features that you can add to it. So think about that. Now all your ARIA attributes are properly associated too. So thumbs up for Forminator. If you're looking for a free one, it kind of passed my little test that I did last time, but good to know about Gravity. I'm going to seriously look into that one too. Okay. Let's look at, what was the other one that we had up here? I think it was Contact Form 7. So Contact Form 7 had everything properly associated. Let's open up NVDA and take a look at that too.
I'd be curious to know if you refresh the page so it doesn't have the errors, if it reads the errors out, even though there's no error state.
There we go. Wow. I can't believe I've gone so long without large font text on my NVS feature. Okay, let's try and see here. So we got first name, edit required blank. It's communicating that's required, even though I don't visually see it's required. I'm not sure if that's a me thing or if that's a tool builder here thing, because I see last name is required. So let's take a look there. Okay, it says it's required. Your email, how did you find out about us? what I really like is that there's a nice, like the focus state works really well with all of these. It doesn't try and circumvent that. And even look, your focus state, don't forget, as long as you show some kind of difference, that's going to be your main indicator for people who are keyboard only users or power users like myself. I'm tabbing through forms all the time and I rely on focus indicators to know exactly where I'm going to write information. So having focus indicators is hugely valuable to everybody on the web, on all your interactive elements like buttons and inputs and things like that. So it's saying that, let's just try and submit the form and see what happens. So did it read out? Yes, it did read out. One or more of your fields have an error. Please check and try again, which is what's down here. So that worked really well. Oh, look at that. Gravity Forms actually made a very big deal of baking web accessibility into one of their recent releases. Great case study. Thank you very much for that, Ron. I'm going to read up about that later. All right, let's see how this one reads out. First name, edit required. Okay, so this still says invalid entry, field is required. What I would like to see also is a lot of these error states be customizable as well. Because having just the field is required is usually not sufficient to give enough information to a user to know what the problem is. Okay, first name, last name, that's a pretty obvious one. But there's going to be other fields where I don't know what kind of information I need to enter into this field. Therefore, how do I know what the error state is? Let's jump into the form builder and see if we can customize this to make it a little bit more accessible. Okay, contact form 7. Oh boy. Okay, zoom out a little bit. Aha. Okay. Contact form is, okay, I can close down NVDA. Probably not that useful right now. Okay. Contact form 7 is a completely different form builder, I think, from all of the other ones. It is a very manual style of form builder. It's not bad. It's just different. So if I had to remember how we had required, but there was no visual indicator that was added, even if the star was added. So just by adding the label text and then the star, that would make it required, but visually there was no representation. So in this scenario, you would have to put either, you would manually have to put the star or the required debate ensuing what we just went through on the, in the chat. You would have to manually add this yourself. I think there's pluses and minuses to this. It does, if depending on how mature you are as a developer, how experienced you are, you may forget to do this. And depending on the organization or the client you're working with, you may start with a WordPress blog and then hand it off to a client, or maybe you're just working on something yourself. You may be stuck and you say, oh, I completely forgot to add the required field. I like to automate a little bit more. This is something that should just be a little flag or a tick or a checkbox that can just be added. But the fact that it adds the required attribute, I think is at least that minimum sufficient. I'd like to see. You just have to remember to put this manually on there. We mentioned about placeholders, but it doesn't look like you can customize the actual error messages. So you can add customization code snippets here, see additional settings. Looks like there's an entire library of what you can actually do for this. So I'm not going to get too deep into this because, you know, watching someone code is about as interesting as watching paint dry. So I won't get into that, but it doesn't look like there's as much customization to this one. So I probably put this a little bit lower than the WP forms just because of the level of customization that you can get. But it is a different way to do this. So maybe there's a quick way. Let's just look at placeholder. A form tag works. Yeah. Probably more time than we have tonight for tonight. Adding placeholder looks like it's not supported by this, or we need to follow specific syntax. So it's okay. Not a great form builder for accessibility, just because you do have to get quite deep into the customization, it looks like, for this. All right. Oops. Sorry, everyone, I went back to the beginning. Yeah, I'm just going to say no to contact form 7.2. But yeah, Forminator is pretty good as well. If you don't have access to Gravity Forms, because everything I mentioned before about placeholders and customizing error message and things like that, they're all available for free with Forminator, even though there is a subscription or a premium option as well for that. Okay, just to wrap up here, we got to talk about testing very briefly, because you may be handed a website, you may be handed a blog or a WordPress project or something like that, where you don't know the level of accessibility of it, and you need to start testing. Well, how I started is not the way to start. I think how a lot of accessibility professionals start is you're thrown the accessibility guidelines, the web content accessibility guidelines, and you start, okay, 1.1.1, non-text content. What is that? Okay, it's images. Okay, alt text. Okay, don't start that way. It's not a checklist. It'll just bog you down, because you're never going to get down the list in a way. Leverage kind of what you know already. If it's just forms, we already kind of talked about most of this. Tabbing through the options, opening up a screener, seeing how you experience it. Because if you don't see the focus states around each element, you know already that there's a problem. So basically, I've got on screen here an image of three men pushing. Man, I've got a lot of snow references today. This is just ridiculous. I've got three men pushing a car in the snow. Don't get stuck. You don't need to memorize the accessibility guidelines or all the success criteria. Just use a keyboard, tab through the elements, use a screen reader. That NVDA screen reader is available for free. If you're on Mac, you've already got one. It's called VoiceOver. If you don't want to download anything, or if you can't download anything because your organization doesn't allow you, Narrator on Windows is actually becoming a viable solution for our screen readers as well. You can use a screen magnifier as well. All these are available for free. In addition, a lot of success criteria in the accessibility guidelines have trade-offs. So for example, on screen here, I have an image of a phone and they've got navigation at the bottom. Well, what are the benefits of having navigation at the bottom? It helps users with smaller hands, maybe someone with dwarfism. They can access the navigation very easily, or maybe younger users, or maybe users with carpal tunnel. They can access this much easier. The disadvantages are sighted users who use screen readers. It breaks the logical focus. There are going to be trade-offs with this. So use your best judgment. Is this usable? Can I use it if I have these different barriers? And documentation is key as well. Document your thought process. I think we're just about out of time here. So I'm going to just quickly wrap up. I just want to give a quick demo. You may have already used a tool before to audit the page for accessibility issues. What's kind of funny though, is that a lot of accessibility issues are not picked up by automated tools. I use, and I like, the Accessibility Insights for Web by Microsoft. I don't have a link for it just because I will post the text inside the chat. I like this one the best just because it uses the Axe Core library already. So it should have the same results as Axe, which you may have heard of before. But look at this, even without the label, when I audit this page, look, it says there's no failed instances here. So don't only rely on your tools. You got to know a little bit about accessibility as well. I will show you though, one ad hoc tool, which I find is very good. It's the tab stops with the Accessibility Insights for Web, where if you tab through, it actually enumerates the tab stops. So this is a great visual indicator, and I can send this back to a developer on the team or a designer and say, hey, look, this is not correct. The tab stops are incorrect. How do you want this to be focused properly? As you know, the logical focus order is really important for users. So that it follows the order with any kind of tool or even just your keyboard. Great. Showed that. Quick time check. Amber, I'm going to leave it to you. I know we have until 9:30, but I kind of want to leave some options, some time for questions as well. I've got a couple of kind of like edge cases that I usually go through. What do you think? Are we good for time? We stopped for time. Maybe I can even ask everyone on the chat. Like, if you want me to continue, I can talk about this.
Yeah, I think so. We have about 15 minutes left with our live captioner. I'm not seeing any questions yet. So I would say if you want to start going one of your edge cases, if anyone has any questions though, maybe pop them into the chat. And Bob is saying continue.
All right. Justin, the name is Accessibility Insights for Web. Oh, I'm not sure if it's Lamat or Iamat. I'm not sure. ReCAPTCHA. I've got that in a couple slides. Okay, I will talk about it. So yes, Justin, it's Accessibility Insights for Web by Microsoft. And in there, their ad hoc tools include that focus stop. Game changer for me. It sold the product for me. Now I only use that one. It's great. Okay. So a couple of edge cases that I like to talk about in forms, focus indicators. I've got two images on screen here. One is a dotted indicator that surrounds a form, and one is kind of like this underline underneath an input as well. They're both good. Okay. The underline, it should be 2 pixels is kind of the minimum. Basically, the more obvious it can be, the better. You still have to match your color contrast with that as well. But if your styling matches either of these, it's all good. I think this is a very nice, clear visual indicator to what's in focus right now. Because some teams want that. Some teams want to have just like, you know, an underline. But anything you can do to indicate where my focus is at the moment is okay. Next up, CAPTCHAs or reCAPTCHAs. These suck, okay? I'm actually giving a talk next month on the intersection between information security or security in general on the web and accessibility, which is really, really interesting, on how things like CAPTCHAs and signature panels and things like that are really, really difficult for users with assistive needs, assistive technology needs, requirements. So if you have to use any, the reCAPTCHA is pretty much the only one you can use, as long as it doesn't kind of throw up this, this validation panel, which I've got on the left, which just says, you know, select all images with the bus. The problem comes from these images do not have any alt text on them. And you may notice at the bottom of that, or a screen reader user may realize that there are different ways to access this, but there's a little icon of a pair of headphones, and that's for an audio test as well. Those audio tests are not very clear, difficult to understand. Hopefully the reCAPTCHA panel itself works. The way it works is that it takes, it looks at your cookies, it looks at your browsing history, and it determines if you're a real person. I'm a real boy. So it tells me that, okay, it knows my history and says, okay, this is a real human navigating and browsing. It's not a robot. That's how it checks for it. But if you need to use them, they're one of those gray areas where sometimes we need them, especially in higher security areas so that there's no issues. But if you can avoid it, there are other types of CAPTCHAs. I've got one on screen here, which is a puzzle piece, which you have to float into place using a drag slider kind of thing. Avoid these. They do not work. They don't work with a keyboard. They don't work for assistive technology users. And these are all over the place as well. Pretty much the only one I found that's accessible. And if you have any other solutions, please put in the chat, is the Google reCAPTCHA. Required fields. We talked about this already. I'm not going to get back into that debate. So no label forms. What can you do? So there could be a situation where you say, but Cam, my client absolutely positively does not want to see visible labels. What can I do? So I tend to think about what's that good, better, best solution. I'm not going to walk off storming away thinking that this is not, there's no way to fix this. At a very minimum, I'm going to put ARIA labels on here to add company name. The biggest downside to this is that this will be put in. Your automated tools like Lighthouse or Axe or Accessibility Insights will pass this because there's technically a label on here, but it doesn't help users who don't use assistive technology. Maybe someone just uses a screen magnifier. Maybe there's someone like me, I put in wrong information. It doesn't help any of those users. But if you can use this as a stopgap and then get buy-in from your client, get buy-in from your boss or whoever, or your team to say, well, in the future, we're going to fix this to add a label, then this is a good solution too. Amber, you put in that you use JavaScript to position the labels like placeholders, then shift them up. I think Google does this as well with their Google Material Design, which is I think an adequate solution as well. This is like an evolution, right? We slowly move towards, if you need fully visible labels, you can do that afterwards. And yeah, I actually put here a sliding placeholder as well. There's a couple different ways to do that. And lastly, buttons with no text. So on screen, I've got 5 different inputs, and they've all got just an icon. They've got an icon of a magnifying glass, which means what? Probably search, right? Well, I know that. So how do you actually fix this? So the Nielsen Norman Group, they're world leaders in user-based research, and they've got some really interesting articles on this very specific subject, which is where I pulled this from. Say the goal is to help people find and execute search quickly. So that can mean a lot of things. So if people recognize and are familiar with the magnifying glass icon, use that. If you know your users know what that is, if you've only got one search bar, then that's adequate. But most importantly, you need to put a label on there. You need to put a custom label on there, an ARIA label on there, so that it still reads out to users of assistive technology and screen reader users that it is a search option as well. Don't forget your ARIA labels. Those are just some edge cases that I found. If you need to ask me any more, I'm more than happy to answer some. So as a recap, don't design cockpits for nobody. Allow users to consume how they prefer. Usability trumps design every single time, and plan your form before building it. And if you are building a new form or a new plugin, remember that labels, instructions, validations, required fields, and placeholders are at the bare minimum. And we did find a couple form builders that allow a good amount of customization for accessibility. This is a good screenshot if you need a checklist. I'm not sure if anyone, I'll just leave this for a second. If you want to take a screenshot of it, it's probably a good time to do it. Or I can share this in the show notes afterwards if you want. I'm more than happy to share that later on. And finally, I just want to do a quick mention here that the DEI space, the diversity, equity, and inclusion space, is hard, full of burnout. I'll admit it. We give and we give and we give. And it's because we know it's important. And I'll tell you that in my career, I've been doing this for 7 years now, I've spoken to more people about accessibility than ever before, more companies, more organizations, and more people, more teams. But man, sometimes they don't listen. And it's really, really hard. But anyone who's been in this space for a while will know that organizations are changing. The DEI conversation is happening more than it ever has before. And revel in that coaching, revel in that creating champions, and try to see yourself as improving the web for the whole, not just for a few. And with that, I'm just going to leave my contact form here. My name is Cam once again. You can find me at bit.ly/CamBaudouin. I'll put that in the chat here, bit.ly/CamBaudouin. And I can spell my name right. I post daily tips about accessibility on LinkedIn. I'm super active on LinkedIn. You can find me there. And please don't be shy. If you want to reach out and say hi, start a conversation, or if you have any questions, please reach out. I'm more than happy to ever have a conversation with you. Absolutely. And with that, I'll stop sharing. And if there's any questions, please let me know. Thanks for spending a bit more time with me here.
Hey, that was awesome. Thank you so much. I think you said it before, but I did see that, let's see, who was it? Karen asked, which form plugin do you personally use?
Forminator.
Okay. Forminator, that was one we didn't look at today.
That's one we didn't look at. Yeah. No one really mentioned that they used it before, which is funny because when I gave this to another WordPress chat and they said Forminator was the most used one. So just kind of happened that way. So I'll put in Forminator or no form builder is actually my preference.
Yeah, because you mentioned doing the mail too.
Yeah, situation. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the mail.to. Okay, Graham, good. I've got one fan of Forminator there at least. Good.
Yeah. So I've never heard of that one actually. But I don't know. Yeah. That's just a whole like I bought Gravity Forms, 10 years ago.
So it's well, like all you gotta do is download every single plugin and that'll work.
Yeah. Can I say something? Is it formidable or Forminator?
Forminator.
Okay. I use Formidable.
Oh, that's okay. Okay. Yeah. I know there's a couple of them have the same. Yeah. Or very similar names. Totally. Yeah. Thomas, you put in, what do you think of the autocomplete attributes? So don't forget that if you're going to use an autocomplete for anything, there's a couple of accessibility considerations that you need to think about. The WAI ARIA, the Y ARIA, the Web Accessibility Initiative ARIA, they've got some information on autocomplete, which is really comprehensive. I'm probably can't go into all the details there, but at a minimum, autocomplete is very useful, especially with things like addresses, because that saves just so much time. It saves so much time. And as long as it's communicated back to a user, then you're good. It's golden. It's really great. I'm going to pop in the chat the Y ARIA autocomplete.
Yeah. I think, we just had something come up in our support for our plugin where the autocomplete, and I don't know if it was the browsers, like the user was using something like 1Password or something, I don't know, but we have a place where they can put in the username and password if their website is password protected, so it can actually scan it. And he's like, I keep clearing it, but then it keeps putting it in. And I think it ended up coming, and we haven't figured out a solution to this yet, but it's like being filled in by whatever, I think, password manager he is. Like, okay. It's just like the username and password that he has saved for the site is being filled in there or something. And then I don't know if you have any solutions or you've experienced that. Like, how do you stop the autofills, right?
I feel like you shouldn't. I feel like that suddenly becomes a user experience thing where we're never going to be able to, you know, what is fully accessible, right? We're never going to be, no one's ever going to be fully accessible. That's why it's like such a push of a journey. If a user knows how to use their tools, I think at some point, and I've spoken to users, I'll get into that sort of in a moment, who say that, you know, I should know my tools. I need to, it's my responsibility to know how to use my technology tools. And if I choose to use an autocomplete tool, plugin, password manager, then I should be able, then it's up to me. It's the onus is on me to make sure that it works with the web as I choose to use it. But of course, you know, support does go both ways as well. Sometimes, you know, you're going to do your best possible. At a certain point, you're going to say, well, there is a known issue on this. We're trying to fix it the best possible. Here's the workaround. And be clear with that too. Be clear that there's a workaround. You know, not that you have to go to the back of the building and take an elevator, then come up and then come back in. But at least, you know, here's a feasible workaround, the easiest solution that we can find out right now. But we acknowledge that it's a known issue.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And someone said LastPass has an option per website regarding whether to fill in it automatically and immediately or not.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I use LastPass now. I activate that on a lot of them.
Yeah. So maybe that's, I think we're going to have to go back to them because they're like, it keeps filling it in. And then I hit save on my settings page and it saves it. like, maybe you need to delete it before you hit save on your settings page.
Oh, boy.
But yeah, I don't even know. Like that's a weird too when you're getting into like back-end forms and
yeah, for sure. I did see another comment here a while ago. What do I use? I think I answered that one. If I missed a question, please put it back in the chat.
Chris Dobson was asking if there are any other accessibility browser extensions that you use or find helpful.
Sure. I've got a whole bookmark full of them. Probably going to take more here. I will share my screen for one more moment, if you'd let me. Accessibility tools, HTML code sniffer, headings, bookmarklet, focus bookmarklet. I've got a ton of them. I'm a bit of a Swiss Army knife of tools right now. What I'd recommend is reach out to me on LinkedIn, if you have LinkedIn, or I can somehow put that in the show notes here. Maybe Amber, what I can do is as a follow-up to this, I can link to some of these. But right now, like I've got so many because sometimes when I'm on client site, I'm using their federated secure laptop and I can't get access to my tools. So I've got to go and search up these new tools like JavaScript snippets and not snippets, applets. No, I'm still mixing up that word. Bookmarklets, that's what I'm looking for. You know, this ASLint tool, it's not the best auditor. It's like, it's not as good as Axe, but man, it does the job, right? And it gets around a lot of the different security features that some clients have. I mean, it's okay. If I can't install plugins on their devices like Accessibility Insights, maybe I'm going to switch to using this headings bookmarklet, which highlights where my H1s are on the page. And I can go and look over a page and quickly say, well, you know, you're missing an H1, things like that. So I've got a couple of these, but if you want more information on that, reach out to me. I can figure out how to get some more tools to you. No problem.
Yeah. And if you send them to me, I'm happy to include them with the recording. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, sure.
I think Karen was asking, when and where are you doing your talk on accessibility and the security intersection?
Ah, so that is going to be with the CNSP, CSNP, Cybersecurity NP, something. Again, follow me on LinkedIn because whenever I do these types of talks, I put on there. You can also go to my website, cam.beaudoin.com. And I put all my talks there too. It's going to be a free talk, so you can go and register for that. And I'm currently interviewing users with disabilities and also cybersecurity professionals to see what both their takes are on each other. And I think it's going to be a really interesting talk. I'm really looking forward to giving this talk because it's just one of those things that, you know, you're filling out a form at the dental office and all of a sudden there's like a please sign here on their iPad. And you're like, man, if I were blind, how would I fill out the signature field? would I be stuck? Would I not be able to complete this form? Because, and imagine, you know, you just spent 10 minutes filling out this medical form where you got to fill everything in, you get to the signature panel, and then you can't do it. Man, that's an interesting debate. Really interesting to, I'm looking forward to hearing more about that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you'll also be speaking at, we were just talking earlier at the beginning, you're going to be speaking at AccessU.
Yeah, I'll be speaking at AccessU. If anyone's in Texas or if anyone lives in Texas or is going there, please find me at AccessU. I'd be more than happy to have a beer with you. Hope we can say that in
chat. Yeah, we're having a
thank goodness. On the
meetup. We're going to have our very first IRL in real life meetup here for WordPress accessibility. So if anyone's coming to AccessU, we have, it's kind of a collaboration with an awesome accessibility meetup, and one of the AccessU is going to send people to the same brewery. So it'll be fun.
Oh, cool. Yeah, great. See you there.
Let's see. So George asked, earlier when you were using development tools to analyze the forms, what were you looking for?
Oh, so I can give you an example of the most inaccessible site. Okay, so can I, all right, let me show you that here. So this is cool. Okay, this site is called, I think it's actually called the most inaccessible site. Look it up. So the UK government, by the way, the UK does a lot of really good work in accessibility. Their government sites, like, they are more willing to share their knowledge publicly, which is something I think, well, I know, especially here in Canada, our banks, our government, like, does not share stuff. So it's kind of unfortunate. But what they did is they went and created a website with all a whole bunch of problems in accessibility. So what I was looking for when I was, if I was to run an audit here, is these are all the problems on the site. And what I like about the Accessibility Insights for Web is that it highlights all the issues that are on here, number one, and you can actually just, like, look for them and say, okay, small text does not have color contrast ratio. And I can click here and I find the snippet of code. I find the how to fix. It gives me all the information I need to figure this out. So this is a really great tool. I love the way it presents itself. And also what I like is that I can export this. Like, if I'm using a defect tracker like Jira or something like that, I can actually copy the failure details and then post it, I don't know, right into Jira. Can you see my, did I share my whole screen right now? You see everything?
Yep.
Okay, good. I can just post it right into a Jira-like tool or something like that. It gives me all the information. It really reduces the friction to being auditor, tester, consultant, you know, worker, things like that. So I like this tool a lot.
And I think specifically when you were on that site and you had open, like, Chrome DevTools, you were looking for the label and the for attribute on the label to make sure it linked to the right ID, right?
Correct. Yeah. So I was looking for ARIA attributes that should be there. Things like ARIA described by, to make sure that the text underneath the input was properly associated, because that's a big one that people miss. You know, if there's an error, a user needs to know what the error is. It should be read out when they focus on the field. So that's what I was looking for. So some of those form builders did not have that association or did not give that for free. Maybe you have to manually attach them, something like that. But that's what I was looking for in there.
Awesome. I don't know if we have any other questions. We've got to thank you for being an accessibility advocate.
Thanks, Chris. So,
awesome. Well, I think that's it, everyone. I appreciate everybody coming. And thank you so much, Cam, for a great talk. I think the best way to get a hold of you mentioned was on LinkedIn.
Yeah, definitely. I'm just going to put my LinkedIn in the chat. Follow me, connect with me. I don't know why LinkedIn stops everyone from connecting now. Please follow me. And I see a couple of people here in the crowd who are having talks as well. Like, I'm just so excited to be in this field, like, right now. If you're interested in working and doing more stuff in accessibility, there is a ton of work right now. And it's great. Like, golden age of accessibility right now, I think.
Yeah, it's awesome. So, totally. And just as a quick reminder, we'll have this up in about a week once we have the opportunity to have fully corrected captions. So thanks so much, everyone, and have a great evening.
Thanks for listening to Accessibility Craft. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe in your podcast app to get notified when future episodes release. You can find Accessibility Craft on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And if building accessibility awareness is important to you, please consider rating Accessibility Craft 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Accessibility Craft is produced by Equalize Digital and hosted by Amber Hines, Chris Hines, and Steve Jones. Steve Jones composed our theme music. Learn how we help make thousands of WordPress websites more accessible at equalizedigital.com.